Morning.
Good morning.
We are awake. What a wonderful song. I was really, really struck just by that chorus. And it really does fit in perfectly with hopefully some of the thoughts I'll share with you this morning. Hallelujah, the one who has set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Great, great words. And hopefully there'll be words that will really resonate with us. As Colin mentioned earlier, the passage we're going to look at today is from Hebrews chapter 12. And it's the first three verses. And it's entitled Remembering Endurance. And we're going to look at this maybe just a couple of sort of aspects. Not only endurance that Christ went through the cross, but endurance even for us as Christians, running the race. So let's read these verses again. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. The writer here to the Hebrews talks about us running a race with perseverance. And as I was thinking about this, my mind was cast back to the year 2012. It was a Saturday evening. It was the 4th of August. It was a balmy evening. It was down in London. Just after 9 o'clock, Jess Ennis won the heptathlon. At 24 minutes past 9, Greg Rutherford won the long jump. And just about that time, a certain Mo Farah started to run his race, 10,000 meters. He had completed 24 laps of the track, and he had one to go.
Mo Farah hits the front. A lap to go, the bell rings. Is it tolling for a gold medal for Great Britain? Will Farah have enough?
And Mo Farah really trying to become the first Briton to win the Olympic title at 10,000 metres. He's got a little bit of company, including his training partner. Can he hang on? He's running magnificently now.
Farah with a metre lead, but that's all. Tariqa Bakila on the inside, Mashiri of Kenya, Galen Rupp of the USA, Kenenisa Bakila looking for room on the inside, and Farah is kicking hard. The crowd are lifting him. They're cheering him on. To the home straight, just 100 metres to go. Has he got enough? He's kicking again. Mo Farah is going for it. It's going to be a glorious, glorious win. Mo Farah for Great Britain. It's gold. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The stadium erupts.
Fantastic. I could watch that again and again. It's great. Still, even now, today, I can feel the hairs in the back of my head just sort of like pricking up. Great, great finish to a wonderful race. But it was 10,000 metres. There was a lot of hard work went into it. There was a preparation that he had to put into it. There was a perseverance. He'd just run 24 laps, but he kept going. He never gave up. Why? Because the prize for him was worth it. It was worth the prep. It was worth the perseverance. And hopefully as we consider these verses this morning, consider what it means for us to endure, and even that Christ endured, we can maybe consider these questions and saying, is the race that as Christians we are called to run, is it worth it? Is it worth persevering with? Is it worth enduring? A little bit of a background to the book of Hebrews. So the book of Hebrews was written primarily to Jewish Christians. We're not too sure who the author is. Some people will think it was Paul, but it's not sort of clearly defined that it was Paul. But certainly the writer here is writing to sort of Jewish Christians. And as we see, as we read the beginning of the book, they've got a really, really good grasp of the Old Testament scriptures. But as we continue to read through Hebrews, we find out that they're facing persecution and also impending imprisonment. And because of that, some of them were contemplating turning their back on the faith. They were maybe asking, is it really worth it? Is it worth continuing? But then the author, as the book goes on, and in chapter 10, saying, listen, guys, it's really worth persevering with. He then goes into that wonderful chapter in chapter 11, just before the verses, and he lists all the sort of like the men and women of faith who sort of say, yes, it is worth going. And he talks about them and about how they sort of like continued the fight, continued the race. And then he sort of like focuses on these three verses, and especially in verse 3, and he says, focus on Christ. So I'm going to bring three thoughts, or the seven P's. Now, I also appreciate that we don't have long, so I'm really going to just try and sort of like go through these fairly quickly. And what I'd encourage us all to do is afterwards, go back and have a look at these verses. And consider them yourselves, consider them again, and think of them, you know, maybe a little bit more than what I'll maybe look at today. So the first two P's are prepare properly. We see here the writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders. When Mo Farah turned up to race the 10,000 meters, he just had what he needed. That was it. He never brought anything extra. Now, he could have brought a raincoat, maybe some extra food, and a first aid kit. And all these things are really, really good. You know, it's Britain. It's going to rain. You know, 10,000 meters, a long way to go, might need some food. And those spikes on the other runners, they can be a wee bit nasty at times. And I just might need a first aid kit to help me. They're all good things. But if he had brought them on, I think they would have hindered him. And the chances are he probably would have lost the race. So a simple question that we ask ourselves is, what in my life is hindering from me running the race that I must lay aside? Is there something? Is there something that we're doing? Is there people we're associating with? But I want to sort of even just, you know, bring this idea a little bit further forward and say this. Is our primary identity that of one who follows Christ or something else? Mo Farah is a husband, and he's a father. But his primary identity for that night, and I would probably say his entire life just now, is that of a runner. That was the number one focus. And that is a challenge, I think, to us as Christians today. There are other things in our life that are important, our jobs, we're maybe parents, we're maybe good friends, and other things we're involved in. And these are all important. But what is our primary identity? Is our primary identity that of a Christian? Or is it something else? Not only that, the writer goes on and says, let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles. We've thrown off things that maybe hindered us, but also the sin that easily entangles. And we all know that there are sin, that there's things in our lives that can really sort of like maybe, that can entangle us, that can maybe stop us from maybe continuing in our Christian lives. Wonderful passage in Romans that Paul sort of talks about, and he reminds us when we look at it in Romans chapter 7 that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. In the whole book of Romans, Paul's talking about the fact that that our sins are forgiven, yet we still sin. I brought this passage up here, and it's one of these ones where you have to sort of like really stop and think and read about it. But I thought it was really, really good, and it kind of sort of illustrates a little bit of a point. I want to read it to you. So this is what Paul, he's working through this, and he says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature, my old nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, Evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And I think if the passage stopped there, we'd be like, what's the point in carrying on? But fortunately, it doesn't. He says these words, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he goes on in the first couple of verses in chapter 8, says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And that is the reality of for us who are Christians. So this sin that maybe comes along and you know, Satan wants to use it to entangle us, we can say, actually, no, Christ has set me free from those sins. We've got to be reminded that what Christ has done for us, he has set us free. So we need to live in that reality. So we have prepared properly. Then we've got the next two P's are we have to participate with perseverance. Look what it says here. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It talks here about running and not walking. So there's that idea of effort and commitment that the author is trying to sort of get through here. And how should we run? With perseverance, or in other words, with endurance. Mo Farah persevered through that race. It wasn't just a quick sprint. It was a long, grueling race. He had to run with perseverance, with endurance. And when I sort of was looking up sort of different sort of ideas, concordances about the Greek word used here for endurance, see, the translation doesn't mean the patience which sits down and accepts things, but the patience which masters them. So you have this idea of single-mindedness. It comes back to the idea of where is your identity? If our identity is in Christ, we have that single-mindedness to run this race and not to be blown off left and right by all things, other things that come in. Nothing will deflect us. They talk about the idea to master something that you have to put in 10,000 hours. And I'm sure you've heard that before. And when you break that down to hours and day, it basically means in order to master something, you have to, 10,000 hours, that equates to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, so you get the weekend off, 50 weeks a year, so you get 2 weeks holiday, for 5 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. So, you know, it is that whole idea of endurance. So it comes to us back to the one of the original questions, which should be up there, but it isn't. Is the race that we are called to run worth enduring? The author looks back at chapter 11, as I said, and he reminds us again about the saints who went before. And again, the whole idea of Hebrews is he's trying to encourage the Christians who are maybe thinking of turning back, saying, keep going, guys, keep going. Remember these guys who kept going. And he sort of said, you know, when you're looking at chapter 11, he says, kingdoms were conquered by some of them. Justice was administered. Mouth of lions were shut. Weaknesses were turned into strength. Foreign armies were routed. But he doesn't just stop there. He says also that some of them were tortured. Some of them had to endure jeers and floggings, were put to death by stoning, sawn in two, persecuted and mistreated. And again, it's a reminder to us that the race marked out for us is an individual race. It's still a gold medal, and it's still the sort of prize, you know, there is still a sort of prize at the end, but for each and every one of us, there's a different race that we're called to run. Different challenges, different highs, different lows. But it's the race that God has called you to run. And if he's called you to run that race, he will equip you as well. Corrie ten Boom, who many of you will probably know, was a Dutch lady who worked with her father and other family members to help many of the Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during the World War II. And they'd done that by hiding them in their homes. They were eventually caught and arrested, and with her sister Betsy, they were sent to a Nazi concentration camp. And this was her words of encouragement for those learning where they were going. She said this: if you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to God, you will be at rest. Great words, especially even in the uncertainty that of the world that we face today. If you look to God, you'll be at rest. And this brings us on to our last three, and I'm being a little bit generous with the English language. How am I going to get 7 P's out of this? So we're going to focus on the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Corrie ten Boom knew where she was going, but her eyes were fully focused on Christ. So in order for us to continue to run the race that Christ has called us, we need to keep our eyes firmly focused on Christ. And again, the author talks about it here, verse 2. How do we run this race? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, or in other words, the author and perfecter of our faith. Again, Paul reminds the church in Philippi. It says, "As I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Christ has saved us from our sins, and that but salvation will be brought to completion when he returns. And I always sort of think this is a wonderful thing when we stop and we consider and we celebrate communion. It gives us a chance to stop. It gives us a chance to reflect. And it gives us a chance to consider once again what Christ has done for you and for me. The author then goes on and talks a little bit about this Jesus, about what he done. He says, "For the joy set before him." So there's this idea of like the sort of final joy. It was the joy of knowing death defeated, of being able to sit at the right hand of the Father, of enabling us to have our sins forgiven and entering into a relationship once again with the Father. Before he got there, he had to go through and he had to endure the cross. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I think that's, again, we have to remember that the author here calls us to persevere, to endure in the race. Why? Think of what Christ has endured for us. He had to go through the shame of what the cross brought, but he endured it. He went through it. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us so much. And he knew it was the only way for us to have that our sins forgiven and to enter into that relationship with the Father once again. Therefore, as we consider Christ, consider him who endured so much opposition from those who were against him. And surely that should help us not to grow weary, not to lose heart. And in the words of the prophet, I'm sure you'll be well aware of these verses, but again, I just thought it would be good just to bring it to our attention again. Isaiah chapter 40 says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So, is the race that as Christians we're called to run worth enduring? Well, hopefully, as we've really briefly considered what Christ has endured, what he went through for us, hopefully the answer that we can give will be a resounding yes. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to just thank you again for all that you have done for us. Thank you that even though the joy was set before you, you had to endure the cross. You had to go through all the shame that was associated with it. And you've done that because you love us, because you care for us, because you knew it was the only way for us to have our sins forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross. And may, as we look to you, maybe we be inspired to carry on, to persevere, to run the race that you have marked out for us.